Well, thank you, Dr. White, for inviting me to share my testimony in chapel today. Also, thanks to the many students and friends who are upholding me in prayer today. I need it, and I thank you for that. Allow me to read Psalm 34, 1 through 4, and then verse 8. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. As I give you a bird's eye view of my story, I'm reminded that this is not my story at all. It's God's story. I'm continually learning that God can pen a far better story than I could ever hope to write. I just need to trust the author with the details of every chapter. This morning, I will give you a brief snippet and a few fun facts about my family, and then I will share two life-changing incidents that had an incredible effect in my life. I'm not sure if your faith has ever faltered, but mine certainly has. As my testimony unfolds, you will notice that each trial was unexpected, unplanned, and initially evoked tremendous fear in my heart. However, through each journey, my heart was and continues to be strengthened and comforted by God's all-encompassing peace and presence. Each difficult situation has taught me much about God's watchful care and his sovereignty. Well, I was born and raised along the beautiful shore of Lake Michigan in Muskegon, Michigan. I am the youngest of six children. My only sister, is the oldest, with four boys in between. None of us have middle names, but each of our names begins with a K. So there's Kathy, Kelly, Ken, Kim, Carl, and Chris. Yes, sometimes it was humorous when my mom was trying to get my attention, and it sounded something like, Car, Kim, Chris! Took her a while sometimes to finally get to my name. I was raised in a home that was filled with faith, family, and fun. My parents were dedicated Christians. We were in church almost every time the doors were open. We had family devotions after every family meal, and they taught us what it meant to fear the Lord and serve him and others wholeheartedly. My faith became my own when I was 12 years old, when I made a personal decision to accept Christ as my personal Savior. That was the best decision I've ever made in my life. One ambitious goal that my parents had for our family was that each of their family would camp in the 48 states of the continental United States. I don't know how they did that, camping with six kids in 48 states, but they achieved their goal. We have many fun memories from those many miles traveled and spectacular sights seen through our adventures across America. Yes, Hawaii and Alaska, they're still on my bucket list, but I'm not sure that I'll camp in those states when I eventually arrive there. When it came time for me to attend college, I was intrigued by the idea of attending college in Florida. After all, I grew up on a beach. Why not find a Christian college near a beach? Well, that wasn't my own criteria for finding a college, but I thought that would be nice. After seeking counsel and much prayer about this decision, I attended and graduated from Clearwater Christian College, located on the beaches of Tampa Bay, and only 5 miles from the white sands of Clearwater Beach. After graduation, I was hired at Clearwater as an RD. I also coached basketball and softball, and I was the assistant dean of women. After earning my master's degree, I began teaching in the psychology department and just realized how much I love teaching. What a blessing it is to spend time with students just like you. I need to pause right here a moment and tell you, the student body, how you have challenged me since my arrival at Cedarville to love the Lord more deeply. You've taught me what it means to worship him more fully and to serve him with greater passion. So thank you for the difference that you have made on my life. Well, 4.5 years ago, while still living in Florida, I experienced an unexpected trial in my life. It was Easter weekend, and I was excited to pick up a friend at the airport as she and her husband were coming for their annual Florida Fun in the Sun vacation. When planning the trip, I asked Elise if she could come a few days earlier so that we could have some girl time together. She agreed, and we had the weekend planned with walks on the beach, pool time, movies, and lots of laughs. As I was driving to the airport to pick her up, I realized I really wasn't feeling that well. I hoped my smiles and my excitement would cover the fact that I was feeling a bit under the weather. However, as the day went on, I knew my little light wasn't shining as brightly as usual. As much as I didn't want to put a damper on our weekend, I mentioned to her that I might be getting bronchitis and I might need to interrupt our weekend with a visit to the doctor. Well, we continued through our day. We had lunch, we went shopping, and while we were shopping, since I thought I had bronchitis, I would like hit my chest every once in a while to try to break up anything that might be in my chest. When we arrived at the condo, I carried a heavy box up 2 flights of stairs. Then we walked 4 miles on the beach, we swam in the pool, and it seemed like we didn't even slow down till it was time to turn in for the night. Once we said goodnight to one another, I went to my room, sat on the edge of the bed. I was reading my Bible, and I was praying. After about 15 minutes passed, I pulled back the sheets on the bed. I turned out the light, and I laid down. And as soon as my head hit the pillow, well, actually, I'm not sure my head even reached the pillow, I had severe chest pains. I quickly sat up, and I was experiencing nausea and jaw pain and sweating. And I knew something terrible was wrong. I grabbed my cell phone, and you may think I called 911, but I didn't. The good researcher that I am, I Googled heart attack in women. A list rapidly popped up on my phone listing 5 criteria of heart attack in women, and I think I met all 5 criteria. So I went in the other room to wake up Delise. I could barely get her to stir. Well, unbeknownst to me, she had taken a sleep aid earlier in the evening. Once she finally woke up, she was foggy at best. So I drug her to the car and drove myself to the hospital, which was only about 2 miles away. Little Miss Self-Sufficient never thought to call 911. Upon arriving at the ER, they whisked me off to a room and ran tests and monitored my situation. So picture this, I'm on the examining table and my friend Delise is in the recliner next to me. Well, she fell fast asleep and she caused so much confusion when the nurses and doctors would come in. In fact, one time a nurse came in and she put warm blankets on her before even checking how I was doing. It was hilarious. After running many tests in the ER, the medical team realized that I had a pericardial effusion, which is an abnormal amount of fluid between the heart and the sac surrounding the heart, which could be life-threatening. Normally, 2 to 3 tablespoons of fluid surround the heart to help the heart beat more easily. I had apparently a little more than normal amount of fluid around my heart. So I was transported by ambulance to another hospital for emergency surgery to remove the fluid. As I was being transported to the hospital, I apparently experienced cardiac tamponade 3 times. Cardiac tamponade is when the pressure of the fluid places extreme pressure on the heart, which causes decreased functioning, which could result in organ failure or maybe even death. As I arrived at the hospital, the entire surgical team was awaiting my arrival. The surgeon quickly explained that they would need to insert a tube on the side of my chest to get rid of the fluid. The energy and the urgency in the room certainly caused some fear and anxiety to swell up within me. However, as another precious friend joined us, she sweetly prayed for me. I was reminded of Isaiah 26:3. He will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. In the margin of my Bible, next to Isaiah 26:3, I have these words: calm is the one who is trusting in him. It's a good reminder for me, because if I'm not calm, then I'm not trusting. I was reminded that nothing takes God by surprise, and because of his sovereignty, I could remain calm, and I could put my complete trust in him. Well, I was in surgery within minutes. After surgery, I wakened in my room where I sensed a nurse checking some bandages on the middle of my chest. I asked her, "Did you have to put the tube in the middle of my chest?" And she calmly explained to me that when they wheeled me into surgery, I went into cardiac tamponade again, and my life was in danger, so they quickly had to perform open heart surgery. She explained that they surgically created what is called a pericardial window in the lining of my heart to remove the excess fluid. Remember that most people have 2 to 3 tablespoons of fluid around their heart? Well, when the doctor came to see me after surgery, he told me that they removed 16 ounces of fluid around my heart. That's a typical water bottle. That's how much fluid I had on my heart. He said, had I not gone to the ER that night, I would likely have not lived through the evening. Test results revealed later that it was all caused by a virus. And so I trust the Lord with the details of that. Needless to say, I'm very thankful that the Lord spared my life. This scary incident taught me much about God's sovereignty. Psalm 31:15 says, my times are in God's hands. How true that is. The scar on my chest is a constant reminder of God's incredible outpouring of grace on my life. Here's an entry from my journal during recovery. My soul is filled with gratitude as I think of God's grace in sparing my life. Over the last 2 weeks, I've had much time to be still before the presence of my Savior. As dew refreshes nature during a calm night, so has my spirit been revitalized and refreshed as I sit quietly before the Lord and spend many meaningful moments in his word. I can wholeheartedly say that God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. I live with eternal gratitude, seasoned with humility and grace, and ask, Lord, how can I repay you? You are not finished with me yet. My prayer is that I would maximize every ministry moment for your glory. Since that health scare, I intermittently experienced tinges of pain around my heart, and I've become very aware of any unusual discomfort in my chest, which is likely a result of the scar tissue, not another virus. Nevertheless, and more importantly, the Lord has used this experience to show me that I need to be even more vigilant and more aware of the condition of my spiritual heart. I need to do spiritual checks more frequently, rapidly repenting of sin and swiftly seeking forgiveness as I strive to keep short accounts with the Lord. 1 John 1:9 just boggles my mind. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't quite get that, but I'm so grateful that he forgives me over and over again. Thank you, Jesus. Consequently, the Lord gave me a new lease on life. I returned to work just in time to give my students their final exams. Yes, I did. I wouldn't want to miss that. Nor would I want to miss seeing my seniors graduate. You see, as a single person with no children, you students become like my kids. So I have lots of kids. It's just a good thing that you don't hit me up for money or ask me to pay for your tuition bill. 3 John 4 reflects my heart as it relates to you students. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. So that girl who thought it would be fun to leave Michigan and go to Florida for college never left until 30 years later. June 5th, 2015 will forever be etched in my mind. It was the first week of June, and the faculty and staff were sent an email urging us to make every effort to be at an extremely important meeting on campus on June 5th. This was a peculiar request, since faculty were free to leave campus after graduation, and in all the years I worked there, we never had a faculty meeting during the summer months. June 5th arrived, and as faculty and staff were walking toward the chapel for the meeting, several were surmising the urgency of the meeting. Some assumed a change in administration might be occurring. Others assumed that perhaps they were going to tell us that they were going to break ground for a new building. And still others suggested we might be getting a bonus. Before the meeting, it was great to catch up with colleagues since most of us didn't see each other during the summer months. The mood was cheerful. The meeting started promptly at 10 a.m., and it only took a few minutes to realize the tone of the meeting was very subdued and very somber. The president of the college fought through tears as he announced that due to financial struggles, the college would be closing effective immediately. That meant no more classes, no more paychecks, no more health insurance. The atmosphere was sad. The warm smiles of the faculty and staff members quickly turned to painful sobbing as tears streamed down each face. There was no warning about this announcement. We were blindsided. I left the heart-wrenching meeting experiencing a whirlwind of emotion and a flood of tears. As I drove home, my heart was filled with deep sadness and an overpowering fear. I worried about what I would do next. I needed a job as soon as possible. I realized that summer is not really the best time to find a job in academia. I was afraid, confused, and grieving. Here's an entry from my journal. Lord, in my head, I know you are in control, but in my heart, I am filled with fear. I need to speak truth to my own soul. When there is a discrepancy between what I am feeling and what God's word says, Scripture wins every time. Help me to focus on the truth of your word. Though the closing of Clearwater blindsided most of my colleagues, students, and me, it was not a shocker to you at all. You are never taken by surprise. There are no wrinkles in your brow, and nothing can enter my life that has not first passed through your loving fingertips. When my faith is anemic, help me to trust you. End of entry. Even though my heart was overwhelmed with fear, I needed to wipe the tears from my eyes and run to Christ with my fears. A few verses that I often use in counseling others flooded my soul. Isaiah 41, 10 and 13. Fear not. Fear not. I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I love verse 13. It says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold you with my right hand, saying, fear not, I will help you. The mental imagery I get of a father holding a child's hand saying, I've got this, just hang on, I've got this. Psalm 63:8, my soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. And as I quoted these verses, I realized that my neediness and God's abundant peace was a perfect match. So as God's peace covered me like a blanket, I determined that the theme of my summer would be trusting Jesus every step of the way. An entry from my journal. Oftentimes I find myself being so self-sufficient, even though I know a better position for me is to be fully dependent on the Lord for my every need. This summer, may God's joy be my strength. May God's promises be my confidence, and God's timing be my schedule. End of entry. I've learned over the years that when things don't go the way I think they should go, God has me right where He wants me, depending on Him. I spent most of the summer looking for teaching jobs. I applied at many universities and had several interviews, but nothing like the interview I had at Cedarville. When I visited campus, I realized there was just something special about this place. In fact, Cedarville was very similar to Clearwater on many levels. Chapel every day, Bible minor, integrating scripture into classrooms, and countless opportunities to serve the Lord, serve others, and share the gospel. Here's an entry from my journal. Proverbs 16:9, the heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. After visiting Cedarville, Lord, I need wisdom. I need direction. I often find myself making plans in my heart, but thankfully you are actively ordering my steps. This truth saturates my heart with peace and relief. I just need to trust you, acknowledging that you know what is best for me. After much prayer, on July 24th, I accepted a job at Cedarville. I left my friends, my church, my beach walks, and my home in Clearwater, Florida on August 1st, and cried the entire 4 hours it takes to get from Clearwater to the Georgia-Florida border. Once again, my heart was just filled with fear. I was heading to a place where I knew no one, and no one knew me. Once I was out of the state of Florida, I realized in my haste of packing and saying all of my goodbyes, I really never looked at a map. Even though I flew to Cedarville for my interview, I really had no idea how to get there by car. So I pulled over, entered the college address into my GPS, and continued driving. As I faithfully obeyed the directives from that crazy voice on the GPS, I humbly realized that I need to trust God to direct each of my steps even more than I was trusting that GPS to get me to Cedarville. I arrived on campus and began working on August 3rd. Through my nervousness, I was constantly reminded that, yes, Cedarville was a new venue, but we serve the same God. Once again, I needed to speak truth to myself. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." He gave me that joy, he gave me that peace, and he gave me that hope. Many of you have been faced with tremendously difficult transitions and heart-wrenching losses, much more difficult than what I have faced. Perhaps this entry from my journal might encourage your soul. Psalm 143, verse 8. "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life." Dear Jesus, in the morning, in the afternoon, and throughout the day, keep on bringing me word of your unfailing love and sovereignty. Permeate every bit of my being with your fresh mercies, your steadfast love, and transforming grace, for I have put my trust in you. Jesus, it's the assurance of your sovereignty and unfailing love that enables me to trust you with the transitions I'm going through in life and the uncertainties about my future. Change is never easy. Change makes me feel vulnerable, fearful, and insecure. May your word dwell in me richly, your peace rule in me powerfully, and your glory be my main passion and delight. I have entrusted my plans to you, Jesus, because you alone are trustworthy. You are the author of my life. Write stories of redemption beyond my wildest dreams and hopes. It's all about you. It's all about you. Take me by the hand and lead the way. Shepherd me. Open doors I cannot shut and shut doors I cannot open. Help me to trust you. End of entry. I'm so grateful for the grace and goodness of God. Being at Cedarville, it's a gift. Being at Cedarville is such a privilege. It's such a privilege to be part of a university that exalts the name of Christ and emphasizes the Word of God, encouraging us to carefully cultivate our relationship with our Redeemer. To be part of a university that emphasizes ministry opportunities and mission trips, all the while indicating without apology that we are not ashamed of the gospel. It's such a privilege to minister alongside men and women of like precious faith who pray for and care for one another, and with an administration that carefully casts vision while being intent on integrity. Cedarville University now has a special place in my heart. I know it holds special meaning in the hearts and lives of so many people, whether it be trustees, administrators, faculty, staff, alumni, students, or countless friends of the college. When given the opportunity, we can share how the Lord has used or is using this university to make a dynamic difference in our lives. This piece of property plopped in the middle of cornfields is where God providentially planned for each of us to be at some point in our lives. It was designed for us to not only be on this college campus, but also to cross paths with one another. In fact, as pretty as this property is, it's not about the land. It's not about the buildings. It's about relationships. Our relationship with God and our relationship with others. Cedarville is where heart-to-heart conversations take place and lifelong decisions are made. It is here where we have countless conversations about God and His Word, where we experience God's love and His mercy as we grow spiritually, learning to depend on the Lord. Each one of us has a place in the storyline of Cedarville. Some of us have brief chapters. Others have longer chapters in this story. No matter the time frame for each of us, we all have a story to tell. If we could hear every conversation regarding how God led us to Cedarville, if we could eavesdrop on every story told, it would not take long to realize that God providentially placed each person on this campus for such a time as this. In fact, if we really think about it, in one way or another, each of us is leaving a mark on this campus. As each of our stories unfold, and as we live our lives and tell our stories, may they be filled with snapshots of God's wonderful work in our lives. May the main character of our storyline not be ourselves, but the main character be Christ. Certainly, since the inception of Cedarville, countless individuals have left their fingerprints all over this campus. Not only will we leave our identifiable marks on this campus, much more importantly, God is leaving His thumbprint on each of our hearts. Without a doubt, God has made an indelible impression on our lives as a result of being here. It is on this campus, in this chapel, in our classrooms, where we are challenged to roll up our sleeves and dig into God's Word for our own spiritual growth. It is here where we experience God's untiring patience, His generous gift of forgiveness, and His redeeming love and faithfulness. It is here where God's goodness, grace, and glory intersect with our self-focused living. It is here where we learn to linger long at the foot of the cross, finding grace and strength for our every need. There's a vast variety of situations that each of us has and will encounter as we travel through life. Many of our personal situations will span the spectrum from perplexing problems to sweet successes, from tremendous heartache to incredible joys, from lows to highs and everything in between. Thank you, Jesus, for the many spiritual lessons you will teach us while at Cedarville. When our lives seem frazzled and our hearts are restless, may we focus on Christ. For when our minds remain on Christ, He will fill us with His unimaginable peace. When we feel rejected and lonely and our hearts sting with pain as it seems that no one even cares or notices, may we cling to Christ, realizing that nothing, nothing can separate us from God's love. When thunderbolts of regret ignite and threaten to consume us, may we run to Christ, for it is only then that we experience the downpour of God's forgiveness and grace. When the burden of our heart is heavy, so heavy that it consumes our thoughts and depletes our energy, may we rest in Christ, knowing he will comfort and sustain us. When we are discouraged, confused, pessimistic, or panicky, may we trust in Christ, for he is not at all bewildered or disconcerted, because he already has a plan for you and for me. What God is teaching us during our time at Cedarville, we'll take with us. We will pass it down to our children, we will faithfully serve in our churches, and we will live out the gospel in our communities and across the world. If a Cedarville University transcript of Life Lessons Learned was requested, may it be said of us that in every situation, whether good or bad, that we remained faithful to Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, Sovereign Lord, that there is no anxious pacing in heaven. In fact, you have a plan for each one of us. Help us not to get ahead of you, nor lag behind you, but to completely trust you each step of the way. In Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. Bye. Thank you.